Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special this morning as well. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Philippians in chapter 4. Philippians in chapter 4. Just believe this would be the passage of Scripture the Lord would have us to look to and be blessed by today. Philippians in chapter 4. If you would, go ahead and stand with me. We'll read the Word of God together. As I read, you follow right along with me. Philippians in chapter 4, verse 6, the Bible says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Now let's pray. Father, we bow before you. And thank you, Lord God, for what we've already received today, just being in church. Thank you for your presence, for the blessing of congregational singing, and for the specials that we've heard. And now, Father, as we look into your preserved word, Lord, I know that you have a message for us today through this. Just pray, God, that you would give each one that ear to hear what you have for them. I pray that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, amen. You may be seated. Be careful for nothing. Keep going over that. Be careful for nothing. Now, a sister verse to that that is somewhat teaching the very same thing would be 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, where the Bible says, "Casting all your care." Be careful for nothing, but casting all your care upon him, for he, God, careth for you. Can I tell you this morning that all believers have available to us something that many are not enjoying today? And what that is a worry-free peace. Every believer can have that. As we taught this morning, God has a plan. You want to make sure that you're on God's side of the plan. If you're on God's side of the plan that he has, you can have, it's available to us, a worry-free peace. I believe as I prayed and have studied and just looked to God for what he would have me to bring on this Sunday with everything that's taken place, I'm here to tell you this morning that you can have a worry-free peace. And the thing that will hinder you from having a worry-free peace is worry. And so as I'm trying to get you to stop worrying this morning, that's what I'm saying, but there's one greater than I that has told all of us to stop. Now, the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, was able to pen it as he's writing to the believers in Philippi. But the message is from God. And it was for them in that first century church, as well as for us in a 21st century church, with whatever is going on, things different, no doubt, that are going on in society. But the truth of the Bible is the same: be careful for nothing. Careful. Just what is the Bible saying there? You read that and you read it again and you read it again and you just think, how do you get stop worrying out of that? That idea of being careful, the definition, the main definition for being careful is full of care. Now there's other things connected to this, but basically if we look to that, it's full of care. Can I tell you, we can care without carrying something with us 24/7. We can care without being full of care. We can care without being controlled by what we care about. So the Bible is telling us to be careful being controlled by it, being filled with it, for nothing. There should be nothing that we face that we allow to take away our peace. And a worry-free peace is what we're seeking. In order to have a worry-free peace, you have to get rid of worry. Yeah. As we get closer to the rapture of the church, can I tell you, if you know the Bible, and even this morning we preach somewhat on time, and God has a plan, and he's working his plan, and we know that God's plan is at some point to bring this church age to an end. Right after the church age comes a 7-year tribulation period. Just how close to the things that they're going to experience on earth through the tribulation. And the Bible reveals to us what's going to happen during the tribulation. And there's going to be some horrendous things that's going to happen on planet earth during a 7-year tribulation. Just how far is the church going to go in experiencing some of these things before God raptures the church out? That's up to God. We don't know that. We don't understand that. We just know what's going to take place in the tribulation. And we know that before the tribulation can take place, there's going to come a rapture of the church. And the rapture of the church will take place when God's time for the church has come to an end. When God's purpose for the church and the church age that we're living in comes to an end, we will find it will come to an end by the rapture of the church. And then the tribulation. So what we're going to face, I don't know what we're going to face, but what we will face will more than likely be quite a bit worse than what we're facing today. So it's important that we learn and we apply what God tells us to apply and be careful for nothing. Whether it's a coronavirus, which I believe that we might be making more out of it than what we should. Whether it's politically motivated, I think politics come into play to some degree. I believe if we would do a comparison upon that virus and some of the viruses that we already know about, it would not be as serious as some of the viruses that we already know about that we could pass on one to another today. And so we ought to take the precautions that we are taking to keep from passing any virus or any sickness around from person to person. But that will come into play more and more as we deal with more and more viruses and tragedies and worldly events. So whether it's a coronavirus or a stock market crash, you got your retirement all in that and you've seen it crash, you might have a trouble putting it out of your mind and not having it on your mind 24/7 and being consumed by it. Or whether it's a supply shortage, can I tell you, as long as we have trees, we have leaves on the trees, we're in good shape. God has a natural plan for just about everything that's natural. Whether it's thieves, robbers, who take advantage of crisis, or whether it goes to life situations of divorce, prodigal children, goes to a place of sickness as cancer, or aging, or death, Sometimes what's even more fearful than death is life. In any and all of these, God says, be careful for nothing. Because if we give in to this idea of allowing anything to control us, we give in to a tool that Satan uses to destroy us. Worry is not of God. It leads into fear. Fear causes panic. Fear is not of God. It leads into emotional problems. It can lead into physical problems. Most physicians, if they can't pinpoint it, they'll tell you it's caused by stress. And rightly so, because the body's filled of nerves, and when you allow worry to control you, it is a result of stress that can cause physical ailments. It can lead to depression. It can lead to withdrawal. It can lead to discouragement. It can lead to wrong decisions, which I think there's a lot of them going on right now, based on a worry motivated by fear. But most important, what it can do, it can lead us to a falling away from faith. Where does our faith come in? Our faith ought to be able to handle a coronavirus. Our faith is something that we are to live by and die by and face whatever crisis by. Our faith in God. So we find here that that's what Paul is writing to this first century church in Philippi that was going through a lot of things at this time. They were going through tremendous persecution. No doubt they were facing a lot of different things. And he tells them what you need to know, what you need to understand is from God, is be careful for nothing. Stop worrying. Stop allowing whatever it is that you're caring about to control you. And then he tells them what they should do. And I love that. When you tell somebody stop doing something, you ought to try to help them to know how to stop. And we stop worry by start doing some things that God says to do. Be careful for nothing. That's not saying that we are not to care. Some say, well, the preacher tell me I shouldn't care about things. No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm telling you not to be full of care over anything. Not to be full to the place where it controls you. Not to be full to the place that it hinders your faith. And you stop living by faith and you give in to some of these other things that worry can cause you to give in to. To care leads to concern, which ought to get us to look to God for instructions. The coronavirus, praise the Lord for it, if it causes people to look to God for instructions. I think, praise the Lord, for a president who at least is God-fearing, who has proclaimed today as a national day of prayer, based on what we're battling with the coronavirus. Praise the Lord for that, because that's something, whatever it is that we're facing, what God's allowed it. If God's allowed it, it ought to get us to turn to Him for instructions or for intervention. So what does Paul and the Bible reveal to us concerning that? So be careful for nothing is where it starts. And so what's that saying? Stop it. Be careful for nothing. No matter what it is that's leading you to be full of care that you are yielding to worry, if you will, being full of care over something, letting that control you is worry. Satan will use that. And so he's telling us to be careful for nothing means stop it. We need to treat worry like any other sin. Preacher, you're calling worry sin? I'm not, God is. Whatever God tells you not to do and you do it, what is that? That's rebellion. Rebellion is sin. Not to do what God says to do, what do you call that? Sin. Because that also is rebellion. If we do what God says not to do, it's rebellion. If we don't do what God says to do, and he tells us some things to do here, both of those are sin. And so what do we do when God reveals sin in our lives? If we want to stay on the right side of God, we have to stop sin. We have to stop it. I believe it's important now, but it will become even more important to learn this. Because there's worse things coming. I can't tell you when. I know what the Bible teaches and what's going to take place. I can guarantee you there are worse things coming. And this is a good time to learn how to deal with it. You don't pamper sin. If you're going to overcome sin, you got to stop pampering sin. You have to acknowledge it as being sin. You know what that is? Confession. We have to confess sin. Once we understand whatever it is, if it is opposed to what God has told us to do or not to do, it is sin. And so if we have sinned, in order to get on the right side of God, to have the blessings of God and live by faith as we ought to live by faith, we have to get rid of the sin. And the way you get rid of the sin is you first of all have to acknowledge the sin and you confess it. And he's faithful and just to forgive you for that sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Amen. Too many people are pampering worry. And you're making light of it. And can I tell you, it's not something to make light of because it's a tool that Satan will continue to use. So we have to confess it. And the second thing, as we deal with sin, the Bible tells us not only should we confess sin, that's acknowledging the sin, but we have to go beyond acknowledging that as sin. We have to forsake it. We have to say, God, I don't want this in my life. I confess it, and I thank you for forgiving me for this sin. I don't want it in my life. So what do I do now? I'm looking to God. And so I'm looking to God to find out what can I do to get rid of it and not allow it to come back. You confess it, and then you forsake it. And as you forsake it, you turn back to God to be able to have whatever you need to overcome it. So it doesn't return. And it will return, especially if you've shown yourself vulnerable to this sin. And some have and are. And we're pampering it. You got to get rid of it. I love what he says next. Because once you understand, it's something that we should not have in our life. It's something that the devil uses to hinder us in so many ways. But instead of doing that, in everything. You could compare that with nothing. They would include the same things. Nothing is everything. And everything is nothing. That's what he's speaking about. Be careful for nothing. Stop worrying about nothing. Don't let anything cause you to worry. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Acknowledge it asking God what he would have you to do with it, requesting, know what you are requesting God to do in the midst of it, specific prayers. Can I tell you that's what supplication, that's part of supplication. Pray with supplication is submission and worship. Submitting to God's will over whatever it is that you're caring about. And looking to God to worship him, exalting him and his plan for you to overcome it. And being willing to give him thanks no matter what the outcome. Not being dependent upon God to say, God, it has to be this way or I cannot have peace. No, no, no. Understanding who God is. And taking it to God in an idea of submission to his will, an idea of worship concerning his will, and then no matter what in his will, giving him thanks for his will. Prayer. If it's something that you care about, make sure that you're praying about it. Instead of you carrying it and being full of it, casting all your care upon him. For he careth for you. He doesn't want you to worry. He wants you to take that care and give it to him. Yeah, I love that. Yeah. You see, I've tried that. You tell somebody, because it sounds so simple, they automatically, I've done that before. That just doesn't work. Really. Have you ever did anything that you have to try again? My wife comes to me, and quite often in our door out front, says, Mike, this doesn't work. This key does not work. I've tried it and tried it again, tried it again. It doesn't work. I'll take the key, I'll stick it in there, and I'll maneuver it, and it'll open the door. I said, how many times you try? Sometimes we think we are doing what we need to do, but we're really not doing what we ought to do because we don't have enough faith in what we're doing. This is the wrong key. No, it's the right key. You're just not turning it right. So try it again. Satan would love to make you think that you've tried prayer and it doesn't work. Can I tell you that God says it does work? Now who are you going to believe? Because that's what God says we need to do. If we're not going to worry, and worry is caring and full of care, that means caring beyond what God would have you to care, thinking it's dependent upon you to fix it, thinking about it's on your mind 24/7 and it's controlling you. Instead of allowing that to happen, you say, no, don't be careful, but you do care, and care ought to lead you to do what God says to do, and that is to pray with supplication and thanksgiving. There's a way that he wants you to pray. And if it's not working, it's not because God's plan does not work. It's because we're not doing it properly. And our faith is not in what we're doing. Wow. How many times have you thought you put the right password in? Yeah. Only to find out it wasn't the password. It was the wrong word that you put in. When you get the right password, things open up. When you get prayer, doing it God's way, things open up. Yeah. Don't give up on prayer. Men ought to always pray and not to faint. Men ought to always pray, and that and not to faint could be in not to worry, not to quit, not to give in, because prayer works. Pray. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Turn to an almighty God who you believe in. And let your request know what you're praying for. Sometimes it's just a genetic prayer. No, that's not how, especially when it comes to something as serious that's going to control you and lead you in a direction that you don't want to go, is you need to be specific. You need to know what exactly you're asking God to do. And then look for God to do it. Yeah. Prayer works. Prayer does work if we do it the way God tells us to do it. And then he says, and the peace of God, that worry-free peace, which passeth all understanding, shall, promise from an almighty God, shall, it will work, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You see, you keep praying until you have peace. You just keep praying until you have peace because it's promised to come. And you realize it when you start rejoicing in the Lord. Not only will I have peace, but when the peace is there, you are rejoicing in the Lord. Can I tell you that's where Paul started in verse 4 when he said, rejoice in the Lord always? And always also could include nothing and everything. It's always. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. First century believers. Facing so much, going through so much. Yeah. And he says, rejoice always. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. If your faith is where it needs to be, you can trust in God. And when you put your trust in God, we will rejoice as believers. We can have a worry-free peace in the midst of anything and everything. A worry-free peace if we follow God's counsel. If we look to the Bible and we follow God's counsel, it'll change our thinking, which will change how we handle anything and everything we have to face in life. God says, stop worrying. Look to me. Trust in me and do what I tell you to do. And we can have a worry-free peace. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed this morning. A worry-free peace. Something available to every born-again believer. So many are not living it. So many have turned away from it, thinking I've tried doing it God's way before and it doesn't work. Well, it does work. It will work if you do it His way. This morning, the first thing is knowing that you're saved. You got to become a child of God's. Knowing that you're following Him and believers' baptism. Knowing it's what God has told us to do. We have been placed in His church, the church where we can use our talents and we can use our spiritual gifts and we can serve the Lord. It's It's part of God's plan. It's doing what God tells us to do as we look to Him. Are you looking to Him this morning? Father, we bow before You now. We love You, Lord God. Thank You for loving us. And I pray that as we have presented this passage of Scripture, Lord, You would take it and help each and every one of us to apply it. So no matter what it is that we face, either now or that which is to come, that we can have this worry-free peace that passeth all understanding for the rest of our lives. I pray that You'd bless in this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.